Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Professor Luke O'Neill is a leading Irish scientist and world-renowned immunologist who has often been the voice of reason on TV and radio throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, in his thought-provoking and brilliantly titled new book, Never Mind the Bollocks, Here's the Science. What a great title. He poses some moral and sometimes controversial questions and tells us what science has to say about them. And I'm very happy to say that the punk professor is here himself. Luke O'Neill, how's it going?
Hi, Jennifer, the punk professor. That's a great title.
Do you like that? Because I know you're in a band. You're in a band as well, aren't you?
Yes, my big hobby is music, you know, so I couldn't resist the title of the new book. Had to have a musical reference here. We're called The Metabolics.
Who came up with that?
Me. Yeah, and I'm claiming that. I claim everything, you know, but that was my idea. We work on metabolism in my lab, you see. So I thought, metabolics. And as a friend of mine said, Jennifer, I've met many abolics is the normal response to that, you know.
And as my sister-in-law says, with dating, you have to go through a few bollockses to meet the right bollocks.
You do indeed. Yes. I'm so happy you're saying the word repeatedly, Jennifer. It's marvellous.
I know.
You're brave.
Yes, I'll probably get into trouble. But listen, let's talk. Before we get to the new book, we couldn't have you on without asking you about where we are in terms of our fight with this COVID-19. Do you have any good news for us? Like anything? Any good?
It's tricky, Jennifer. Very, very tricky. We all know the numbers are going up and we saw what happened in the past couple of days with NFET, didn't we? We need to double down. I mean, we got to just keep doing the right thing. I think we're going to have 6 months now ahead of us. I hate to say it, but it's a good 6 months ahead of us just to get control of it again as soon as we can, really. Now, remember, as I keep saying, the cavalry are coming. I can see them on the horizon. So the vaccines, massive effort there, huge effort with treatments for people in hospital. So we're very optimistic, us scientists. It's just going to take time. It's just a question of buying this time, I guess, is the idea.
Buying time, yeah. Now, listen, the first chapter in your book is pretty scary one. It's called What Makes You Think You Have Control Over Your Life? Do we have control? You know, we seem to think we have.
No, we don't. That's okay. The tragic part of that. I mean, well, it's very interesting, isn't it? You can almost predict your life course. If you are in South County Dublin and you go to a posh school and you've got posh parents, you're going to have a pretty good life ahead of you. You know, you can almost predict what's going to happen next. So that chapter is all about, like, we think we have control, but we're being played by various influences. Social media, of course, being a big one. You know, we're all basically enthralled, aren't we, to things like Facebook and Twitter and so on. So sadly, the science says you haven't got that much control over your life.
Okay. And what are your feelings on social media? I mean, do you let your kids on it? Are they old enough? What about yourself?
Well, as ever, double-edged sword, like most things in life, isn't it? You know, there's good bits and bad bits. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I mean, I use Twitter a lot because it's a great source of information. I use Twitter as a way to keep up with all the COVID stuff because there's a huge amount of information. And I tweet information as well. Only use it for information. That's my view. Never use it for personal stuff would be my key advice.
Good advice. Now, one that really got my attention was your question, why shouldn't drugs be legal? What are your conclusions on that thorny issue?
Yes. Now, the book, Jennifer, kind of takes on adult topics. What I mean by that is complicated things that you need to be a grown up to discuss, you know. And clearly the drug thing is a really important one. The war on drugs has failed dismally. Many, many people use illegal drugs. That's what the statistics tell us. What are we supposed to do about it? I mean, obviously, if you legalize hard drugs, that'd be terrible because they're very dangerous. You can get a terrible addictions and so on. And then I make the case that milder drugs like marijuana, it is becoming legal all over America, you know, in certain countries it's decriminalized. The fact is, Jennifer, adults use drugs. There's no getting away from it. Alcohol and caffeine being the two that we know about, you know. So if we're a mature society, we should be able to discuss this. Certainly criminalizing it is ridiculous. Putting someone in jail because they've got an addiction is outrageous, you know. So we need to look at this much more compassionately, I think.
Now, it seems mad, but as humans, we can't stop doing things that are bad for us. Can we, like, as intelligent animals, why is that?
Yes, that's the really strange one. That chapter is called Why Can't You Stop Doing Things That Are Bad For You? And we all do it, don't we? I can't think of anybody who doesn't, you know, misbehave occasionally. It just seems to be part of our nature. You know, I mean, they think when it comes to things like drugs, for instance, those drugs are probably triggering in your brain what it feels like to be in love. So the same pathways are being pushed by the drugs. And we all remember that great rush of being in love. You know, being in love actually is like an addiction.
Yeah.
In other words, you're obsessed with the person. You go by their house after school in the rain. You know, your behavior gets really strange. It's a bit like you're trying to find that thing you're addicted to, you know. So it looks as if these chemicals, just through randomness in a way, just through biology, are triggering very similar pathways. And then you love it, don't you? And you want more and more of it. The key feature, Jennifer, of addiction is you keep doing it when you know it's bad for you. That's the number one of the key features of being addicted to something. It's like as if, as I say in the chapter, you have an angel on one shoulder, a devil on the other, you know, and that the two of them are in conflict. And sometimes we lean towards the devil, and it just seems to be part of what it is to be human.
Okay. And we've all heard of the term men are from Mars and women are from Venus, suggesting men and women live in completely different worlds. You explore this in the book also. Is that really the case, do you think?
Well, again,
What's the science behind that?
Yeah, but that chapter is, why do you still think men are from Mars and women are from Venus? Because all the science says we're not, we're from the planet Earth. Now, clearly, there are differences, obvious physical differences and so on. But every single scientific study done in the past, say, 5 years especially, has revealed we're much more alike than different. So, for example, remember there was the old rubbish that men are better at maths or better at parking a car. Remember this awful business? That's not true. That's absolutely false. Those studies were full of bias, you know, the people that did them, it was rubbish science, basically. So it turns out for the things like, you know, IQ, you know, all those kinds of things were very, very alike. There's more differences between two men when you do these tests than between a man and a woman, for instance. You know, so it's become clear we're not really that different.
Okay. The parking thing, I think my husband would disagree with you on that one. Just saying.
Yeah, but Jennifer, that's because you've got what's called learned incompetence there. You learned not to park properly.
There we go from him. And you wrap it up with a section called What Have We Got to Look Forward To? So what have you got for us? Did I see something there about advanced sex robots? Is that
yes, that's right.
Go on.
Precisely. Well, I tried to end on a positive note, you know. The future is sex robots. And you can change the settings, Jennifer, on the robot if you like. They can be argumentative one night, compliant the next, you know, whatever you like.
Lovely.
That's not quite true, but that's what it's heading towards. Well, you have to have faith in humanity, for crying out loud, in spite of what the way the world is. And I kind of end on saying, look, if we just keep the head down, keep going with the science, things will improve. And I use Star Trek as the example. The Federation was a marvelous thing, you know, in Star Trek. So, and there is marvelous science happening that will hopefully benefit humanity. The example, Jennifer, I give is that a robot called Stevie. Did you see that? Some of my colleagues in Trinity invented a robot in care homes, and people love it. The robot tells you when to take your meds, you know, comes up to you and plays a game of chess with you, whatever it is. Obviously, it doesn't replace human contact, but it's a great add-on, isn't it, to have a caring robot? So there's many examples there of things that we can look forward to that may make life better for us.
And listen, finally, Luke, I know it's a big one, but are you hopeful for the future of the human race?
I am. I'm a glass half full kind of chap. I don't know what your disposition is. Well, you have to have, and your things have usually got better. The history of humans on Earth is there's times that are really awful, and then we bounce back. We've got great resilience as a species. Otherwise, we would have become extinct, you see. Mm. We've got great resilience. And I think we're going to come through this horrendous period of COVID. And politics isn't great at the moment either.
But remember, environment? Can I ask you about environment? Would you be fearful that we're just wrecking the planet for ourselves?
Well, if ever we needed a bottle of cop on, it's this one. Yeah. You know, I mean, that is a big chapter on that. That chapter is called Why Are You Wrecking the Planet? Because we are wrecking the planet. Now, we know what to do. I mean, the sad part is, Jennifer, the scientists are telling us what to do. And if we do it, we won't wreck the planet. Now, governments are changing. Like, for example, there's more and more renewable energy being deployed around the world. Ireland has a great record that's growing using wind energy in various ways. Just get on with it. You know, save the planet, because there's no doubt that we're going to be in trouble if we don't.
Well, listen, always a pleasure to have you on. And life is good for you. And, you know, all is good there.
Not bad. We're plugging away here. We've got four projects on COVID in my lab. Keep your fingers crossed for us. So we're all doing our best, I guess.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. There we go. That's Professor Luke O'Neill. As always, a pleasure. And his brilliant book, Never Mind the Bollocks, Here's the Science, is out now and published by Gill Books. Price at $24.99. A great Christmas present. Also, Professor Luke will be at the Dublin Book Festival this year, which begins on November 27th. And for information and tickets, just go to dublinbookfestival.com.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.